Elohim. In the beginning, God. Capital G, little O, little D. Anytime you see that, capital G, little O, little D, that's Elohim. If you read it through your Bible, you're going to see it 2,250 times. It is the name that God uses the most to introduce and to talk to Himself about. In the beginning, God. Why Elohim? Well, first of all, the meaning says, I am a covenant maker. He says, I've created you, I sustain you, and here's my covenant. I will never, never leave you. No wonder He used that name the most, because He wants you to understand how precious you are. Now, Rob talked to you last night about Yahweh. Yahweh's the one, because He loves and cares, must point out sin that's separating you from Him, but He immediately gives you a blank check and the way back home. This morning, He talked about God will provide. By the way, for those that were here last night, didn't I tell you you'd look at that story different? See, God will provide. I have the privilege of this morning to tell you about Daddy. So now we're looking at Elohim, the covenant maker. Now a question comes up, what in the world is the covenant? Well, some say there's an old covenant and a new covenant. Some say the new covenant came before the old covenant. And some said there's an old covenant and a new covenant and an old, I'm from Texas. So I get very easily confused. So I just like things very simple. So what is the covenant? Well, when I go to one of the first chapters in Exodus, I see God saying to the children of Israel, look, this is simple. I simply want to be your God and you be my people. Then we move over further in the book of Exodus and we see where God says, this is my covenant. I want to be your God and you be my people. Now we can go through further and further and we get over to the book of Jeremiah. And guess what God says in Jeremiah? I want to be your God and you be my people. We go over a few more chapters. I want to be your God and you be my people. If we went to the last part of Jeremiah, it's the same thing. If we go to Ezekiel, it's the same thing. God says, I simply want to be first in your life. And I want you to get to know me. And I want to be your God, your supporter, your covenant maker, and I just want you to be my family, my people. What God is saying is that He wants a relationship with you individually. Now, when I was young, my daddy did not allow us to go to movies. And so one day he came to me and said, I want you, and I want you to take your brother, and I want you all to go to a movie. Man, I was stunned, you know. Popcorn, a movie, man, what's that? And he said, I want you to go see the movie, The Ten Commandments. Remember that one? Now, there was a lot of things in the movie that was interesting, but at the time, one of the things that just kind of stuck with me, I never understood it, but when I began to study many years ago the name of Elohim, I connected the dots very quickly. And what stuck with me out of all those things in that movie was Joseph brought his children together, and he told them, he says, I'm going to die. But sometime in the future, Elohim, the covenant maker, is going to give you a promised land that He's told you about. And when that time comes, I want you to take my bones and carry them into the promised land. For some reason, I just remembered that picture of them carrying the bones of Joseph as they left out in Egypt. Then when I went through the study of the names of God, I go to the 50th chapter and I see that story. And sure enough, there it is. Joseph says, "My Elohim, my covenant maker, the one that said He would never leave me, He is going to fulfill His promise to our people. And when He does, you take my bones." What faith Joseph had, because he understood his Elohim. Now, I have a question. I'm a sales trainer by profession, and so I like to ask lots of questions. So I'm going to ask you all this question. If I was to ask you, and I am, who is one of the most wickedest people you can think of all time, who would you come up with? Who? Manasseh. You've been listening to my tapes. Jezebel, who else? Adolf Hitler? Yeah. Idi Amin? If you study history, you'll know that Joseph Stalin. I mean, he killed about 20 million people. But Wilhelmin is exactly correct. One of the most wicked was Manasseh. Now, what was Manasseh's position with the children of Israel? King! We'd almost say head of the general conference at the time. Man, was he wicked. They said that the streets almost ran with blood from all the people that he killed. And God, in His mercy, sends a messenger to him by the name of Isaiah, and Manasseh rewards that by having him sawed in a log in half. Wicked man. And all of a sudden, we find in the story of Manasseh, the Assyrians come in, they overrun the kingdom, and they give Manasseh to the Babylonians, and so they take him back to Babylon, and you must picture this. Here's Manasseh, who was king, and now he's the subject of a parade. And they have him with a hook through his nose, chains on his feet, chains on his hands, and they're leading God's king through the streets of Babylon. And oh, are they having a great time. Oh, look at there. If that's the most powerful man following that God, oh, looky there. Now, a lot of us would say, that man's getting what he deserved. But through that time, as wicked as he was, as many people he had killed, how he had decried against God, at that time, Manasseh's heart began to turn. And even though he had a hook in his nose, chains on his feet, chains on his hands, being jeered, his heart turned back to Elohim, the covenant maker. And God said at that time, He's my child. He's my family. And I have a covenant with Manasseh. I would never leave him. I would never let go. And so Manasseh turns to God and God honors him. Now here's the amazing thing about God. Guess what happens when he gets back to Israel? He's still the king. Elohim, a covenant with every one of you individually here. He made you. He sustained you. He's watched you grow. And He said before in the very beginning, my covenant is I want to be your God. And I want you to be my people. And that's never changed. No wonder He uses this name so much. One of the things that Rob and I try to do is very often connect the Old Testament name with some New Testament, because Jesus came to this world to show what the character of God was like. And so instead of preaching sermons, He demonstrated it, which, by the way, is more powerful than any sermon. Demonstrate. Let people see in you something that's different. And so we look at the life of Christ, and one of the things that, you know, I'm just amazed with, He went to a wedding feast and performed that. Now He's going to start out His ministry. Now, He could have gone to the synagogue. He could have gone to the church. He could have gone to preaching. But no, He starts out on a long journey, and the disciples say, "Hey, just a minute here. Now, we're going to go through that Samaria." And man, we all know them Samarians, they're dogs. And we don't want to go through there. So we'll take a shortcut, and really it's a long cut, and we'll go all around it to get where we are. But not Jesus. So He goes, and He meets a woman at noon. Now that's very significant in the story, because you see the custom was that women went out in the morning and got the water, and came back and did all the things they needed to do. Then in the evening, they came back and got water for the nighttime. This woman was at noon because no other women were going to be there, because nobody liked her. I guess a few men did, but nobody else did. And Jesus shows up. All the people that He could have began His ministry with went to a person that was the lowest of the low. You know the story. And by the way, it says that Jesus went and spent 2 days in that village with those Samaritans. And when He left, they said they were the first ones. It wasn't the priest. It was not the church leaders. It wasn't even His disciples. It was a woman who was scorned by everybody except the person that had a covenant with her. And when He left, they are the first in the New Testament to say, "This is the Savior of the world." By the way, wouldn't you love to have seen what Jesus talked about in those 2 days? 2,300-day prophecy? I don't think so. All of these things you should or shouldn't do? I don't think so. I think He did what we need to do. Take them back through the Old Testament and show them who God is and how much He cares and how much He loves, and tell them about Elohim, the covenant maker that says, "I don't care where you are in your journey, I will not let you go." Jesus comes along and there's a leper. Lepers had to have a veil. And they rang it and hollered, "Unclean, unclean." The law was nobody could come within 10 feet of them. And Jesus comes and He sees a leper. Get this picture, because this is your God. This is your Elohim. He hugs him. Can you imagine how that leper felt? Can you imagine how long it had been that somebody had even touched him, that even hugged him? But Jesus hugs him, and then He heals him. Now, it sure seemed like it might be better to do it the other way around. Healing, and then say, "Come on over here and give me a big hug." That leper was His child. That leper was the one He had a covenant with. And He hugged first, and then He cleaned. Finds a woman in adultery. Set up. Set up by her uncle. Set a trap for Jesus. Now they're all waiting to see what He would do. Preached no sermon. He pulled out no tract. He gave no pamphlet. He just kneeled in the dirt, began writing. Aiken, South Carolina, Holiday Inn, 3:00, Tuesday afternoon. That's me. And when he looked up, where are thy accusers? Elohim had a covenant with that person. That was his child. We go to one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, Luke 15, talked on the story of the good daddy this morning. I read that parable every week of my life. It is the essence of salvation. But Jesus tells three parables. And I want you to get to see where you fit into this parable. Because remember, one of the principles, as you read all of these stories, put your name in it. Instead of saying Gideon, put Rob Shepherd's name, if that's your Rob Shepherd. Put your name in it. And see if you've had that type of experience. So Jesus tells three great parables. Obviously, He told the one of the good daddy, the prodigal. You know, the man had two sons. So one out of two, 50%, not too bad. But not for Elohim. And so He tells another story about a lady that has 10 talents, 10 coins. And she loses one. Now she has 9. That's 90%. I took Greek and I didn't get 90%. I wasn't appreciated by my Greek teacher. But this is 90%. Now you think that would be pretty good. But not for that lady, because she wanted the other coin. They were all precious to her. And so she looks under the table. She looks all over the floor. She turns, lights a lamp, and she looks all night. And she searches and she searches and she searches till she finds it. And then she has such great joy. What does she do? Go tell somebody else and do what? Pardon? Oh, man. Did I just knock my thing down? I'm so excited. Here, you get a dollar bill. Man, I love that. What do I know about technology? That's why I hate microphones. All right, I'm okay, good. I'm just getting one. I just let it fall. I don't care. Yeah, throw a party. Get the picture. Does the word party start getting in there now? Zephaniah talks about when good things happen, God gets off of His throne, puts aside His crown, starts clapping His hands and singing. But 1 out of 10, 90%, pretty good. But now comes the other one. A shepherd has 100 sheep. And he loses one. Now the shepherd had a covenant. He had a covenant with all 100 that these sheep that he would take care of. But he loses one. Now surely anybody in their right mind would understand you can't sacrifice the safety of 99 to go get one lost, dumb sheep. And I would agree with that. It would seem logical that if you had 99 and you lost one dumb one, let him go. And that makes a lot of sense unless that sheep's you. That sheep's you. That sheep's you. That sheep's you. Or that sheep's me. And then I've got to look to Elohim, the covenant maker, and claim the promise. You said you would never forget me. You said you'd never let me go. You said you would sustain me. Come and get me. And that's exactly what the shepherd did. So in God's kingdom, in God's family, 99% is not good enough. He wants all 100. And He wants you. I don't know how many ways that we can tell you the same thing over and over and over. And again, we do not apologize for that because we have no other message. No other message than the great love that God has for you as an individual. The relationship is not with a denomination. It's not with a church. It's not with a congregation. The relationship is you as an individual. He's told you before you were even born, He knew who you were. Don't let anybody tell you that you've gone too far, it's too late, you've angered God so much, you can't come back. He tells you every way. No wonder the Bible is full of men and women who had nothing but problems. Because that's the story of your life. Just think, if we had a 67th book, and it was your life, what would your journey be like if somebody detailed it? Yes, there's some high points. My, there's some low points. And there you would step back and it would show how God would be working with you and saying, you're my child, I love you. What if you were the 67th book? But you know, you can be. Because live your life that people will stop you and say, what do you have? Where do you get your peace that I don't have? And then you can sit and say, let me tell you about my Elohim. Let me tell you about my daddy. Let me tell you about Yahweh Jireh, God will provide. That's the message they're dying for. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God had a billfold, your photograph would be in it. He gives you a beautiful sunrise every morning, gives you a beautiful sunset every evening. And in the springtime, He gives you beautiful flowers just for you to enjoy. And every time you talk, God listens. God could live anywhere in the universe that He wanted to. But He chose to live in your heart. Don't you get the picture? God is crazy about you. God is crazy about you. Dear Elohim, no wonder you picked the first name as the covenant maker. Joseph understood it. In his life, he was up and down, on top of the world and down in the dungeons. But he understood the covenant. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Thou art with me. Because we are Your children. We are Your people. And You are our God. Thank You, Father, for this church. Thank You for these people. And may they continue to be a lighthouse in the city of Aiken, where people will say of them, I don't know exactly all about their doctrines, but I tell you one thing, there are people that love God. May that be our mission. And we're so thankful. Thankful for what You've done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.